Warning. The following program is serious about wine, but doesn't take wine too seriously. It might make you laugh, or thirsty, or both. Sorry if we make you spit. This is Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. This week on Grape Encounters Radio...
Ethel, where did Lucy go? Did she go around sucking up local color?
Sucking up local color? No, I don't think so.
Ethel!
Yes!
Mira que tiene cosas que se lo di, se lo le repetí, que no se metiera más rebolico aquí en Italia, señor.
Now, don't you worry about it, Ricky. She's just probably picked a few grapes and she's on her way home right now.
And now, transmitting our signal to wine lovers of the world from our Atascadero Wine Cellar studio in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California, we bring you Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
All right, it is time for your weekly Grape Encounter, and I will tell you what, in the 6 years almost that we have done Grape Encounters, I have never encountered a feel-good story as good as the one that we're going to be talking about today. I am so glad also that we get to take you to the other side of the country, that is the other side of the country from our studios. And today's story begins in Jamestown, New York. Actually, it began last weekend where a world record was set. And as I said, it's a feel-good story. It's associated with probably the single most iconic moment in television or the movies having to do with wine. It's been something that's been repeated at wineries all over the world for years and years and years. It's the iconic scene with Lucille Ball stomping grapes. And there is the Lucy Desi Center for Comedy in Jamestown, New York, and they take that scene and Lucille Ball's comedy very seriously. On the line with us now is Jurdy Gunderson. She is the executive director of the Lucy Desi Center and the National Comedy Center. And Jurdy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was very tempted to put on Don't Stop Believin'.
I do get that now and then.
But I think you were not named after the group Journey.
That's correct. For all the times I'm asked, I wish I had a great, witty, funny story about my name, but my mom just really liked it. The band was on hiatus when I was born, and then they had this huge comeback the second I was born. So for the rest of my life, Don't Stop Believin' has been sung to me in bars.
There could be worse things.
There
could be worse things. Anyway, let's talk about what happened. I hinted at what happened in Jamestown, but this is so amazing. You had, if I have this right, 1,232 people there. And tell us what they did.
Sure. We got 1,232 people to participate in setting a new Guinness World Record for most people grape stomping, which involved 60 tons of locally grown Concord grapes in a vat that we built that was about the size of a city block.
No, really?
Yes.
Let's start with the vat. How do you build a vat that's a city block long?
With the help of Artone Manufacturing, a company that's local to Jamestown here. The owner happens to be a board member on the National Comedy Center board. So he built the walls, and we actually, the base of the vat, we just used 2nd Street in downtown Jamestown and worked closely with the city on this. And we knew the existing record was 977 people held by a small city in northern Spain. And we've been celebrating Lucille Ball here in her hometown for decades. But we really, as part of our mission to celebrate comedy in Jamestown, we wanted to do this to pay tribute to one of the most iconic comedy scenes. You mentioned it was one of the most iconic wine-related scenes in entertainment history, but it's certainly also one of the most iconic comedy scenes in TV history. Lucille Ball playing Lucy Ricardo stomping grapes.
Okay, so the pavement was the bottom of the vat then?
That's correct.
I don't think that's ever been done in the wine industry.
No. I mean, our streets are clean, but I don't know if they're that clean.
Okay. So I take it that the grapes that were stomped were not used for wine.
That's correct. We thought that the health department might have a problem with that.
No, the alcohol in the wine will kill all the germs. That wasn't a problem. I could have helped you with that.
Yeah. Well, we do have some commemorative bottles of Stomped with Care wine directly from Jamestown, New York, made with our own Concord grapes. So you can contact the Lucy Desi Center for how to get one of those world record release bottles.
Oh, fantastic. So where did the grapes come from? Let's start there.
The grapes came from Silver Creek, New York, which is within Chautauqua County, just down the road from Jamestown. And if your listeners don't know, Chautauqua County, where Jamestown, Lucille Ball's hometown, is located, is in Lake Erie wine country, which is the largest grape-growing region east of the Rockies and the oldest Concord grape region in the world.
Yes. I don't think that people in other parts of the country necessarily know that there's pretty good wine made from Concord grapes.
There is. There definitely is. And a lot of people also don't necessarily realize they can come here and visit now 25 wineries right here in this region. It's a beautiful country anyway and a great tourist destination because we're nestled here in Jamestown with the Lucy Museum between Chautauqua Lake, which is gorgeous, and Lake Erie. So, you know, there's several reasons to visit, and soon there will be another because as you and I have discussed, in addition to celebrating Lucille Ball annually at the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival in August, where we do Grape Stomp every year, we're also building a national attraction in comedy called the National Comedy Center. So between touring the wineries and wanting to laugh, there's a ton of reasons to come to Chautauqua County in Jamestown, New York.
Man, you are up my alley. I'll tell you what, because we like to laugh on Grape Encounters Radio. In fact, we have a special device installed in our broadcast studio that when anybody pretentious tunes into the show, it actually jams the signal. That's how that works. Anyway, let's go back to Concord grapes for a second because I had the opportunity, I think it was 2 years ago, to judge an international wine competition. And I was put on a panel where we judged sweet red wines. And that was kind of something new to me, being, you know, mostly a Cabernet Syrah kind of a guy. But I was surprised because the Concord wines being very different than what people on the West Coast are used to drinking and what I think really most people are used to drinking. But it's a fun wine. You know, you're happy after you drink that. That's for sure.
That's definitely true. And, you know, there are an assortment of different wines that all of the 25 wineries have come up with. And Johnson Estates especially is, I believe, more than 60 years old and has some really fine wines that they've managed to develop here in Chautauqua County. There's something here for everyone, whether you're a wine aficionado looking for a dry red or whether you're hanging out with a group of people who may not be into traditional reds or whites. There are some fun wines to drink. In fact, the wine in this region is my mother-in-law's favorite wine she's ever tasted.
Awesome. We're talking to Journey Gunderson. She's the National Comedy Center Executive Director. That's the Lucy Desi Center in Jamestown, New York. And last weekend, they set a new world record last Saturday when 1,232 people stomped 60 tons of grapes in a vat that was a city block long. Journey, you were quoted as saying that Jamestown is a destination for laughter. And whether it's stomping grapes in celebration of one of the funniest scenes in TV history or enjoying legends like Bob Newhart and so many others we've presented, you can count on coming to Jamestown for laughs. So when I walk around and I go into shops and I meet people, will they all have a smile on their face?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. And any of the photos you see from this event we did this weekend, you'll see everyone had a great time and was laughing throughout. I mean, just the feeling of the stomping, I think, makes you laugh. But, I mean, they're really, you know, your listeners can probably appreciate that there are two things that transcend language and transcend borders. When we think about this scene of Lucille Ball and why it became so iconic, you know, you didn't need to understand English even to find that scene hilarious because she's a very visual comedian. And so there are two things that, you know, transcend language and borders, and one of them is wine and the other is laughter. And you can find both here in Chautauqua County.
So how long has the Lucy Desi Center been in existence?
The museum began in 1996, but actually our comedy festival preceded the museum, and that was Lucille Ball's idea. Before she passed away in 1989, she said, you know, I understand a museum of people looking at my stuff is kind of inevitable, but more so, I would love my legacy to be celebrated in the form of comedy celebration. Celebration of the comedic arts education. And so the early days of the festival were headlined by Ellen DeGeneres, Ray Romano, Louis Black.
Wow.
We've had Bob Newhart, the Smothers Brothers. Martin Short has been here, Joan Rivers, and most recently, of course, Jay Leno, just having stepped down from 2 decades of ratings domination. So it's a really fun place to visit because we celebrate comedy in Jamestown like no other.
Okay, I want to continue with you. We're going to take a little breather here to give our sponsors an opportunity to weigh in. But we'll continue this conversation with Journey Gunderson of the Lucy Desi Center and National Comedy Center in just a moment. It was a world record set. Last Saturday, 1,232 people stomping 60 tons of grapes in Jamestown, New York, and I wasn't there. I don't think I could be more disappointed. I'm coming the next time you do that. That's that. Okay, well, stay with me. We'll be right back.
Lucy has a girlfriend of hers here from New York, see? And this girl is just dying to meet a big movie star.
Big star like, yes!
Well, David Wilson uncorks the next story. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/grapeencountersradio.
Back with Grape Encounters Radio, and you know, up until recently, the record for grape stomping was held by the Spanish, and you know, Americans do not like to be outdone, and I guess the folks in Jamestown, New York, home of Lucille Ball, really didn't like the idea of being outdone since they are the home of the Lucy Desi Center and National Comedy Center. We've got on the line the executive director of the center, Journey Gunderson. And last weekend, it was probably the most beautiful, festive celebration of wine and comedy that you can possibly imagine, as the folks in Jamestown, and I imagine a lot of folks from far away as well, came and set a new world record when it comes to stomping grapes in the streets of Jamestown. Journey, how far away did people journey from? No pun intended.
Sure. Well, we did have a woman in town from Venice, Italy.
Wow.
Who said that she had stomped grapes in Italy, but saw this online somewhere and decided to make the trek. And we also had visitors from 31 U.S. states.
Wow.
As far as Alaska.
How did people learn about this? Are they generally Lucy fans? Is that what the crowd was mostly made up of?
Yes, I would say so. Admittedly, we at the Lucy Desi Center for Comedy and National Comedy Center are used to marketing to comedy fans who attend our annual Lucy Ball Comedy Festival, and to Lucy fans who have been coming to Jamestown for more than 20 years to visit the museum and honor the queen of comedy here. So through our online audience and press releases and social media, that was a large part of our demographic, and of course the local community here in Jamestown and Chautauqua County. So this was our first time really thinking about trying to target wine enthusiasts as well. But luckily, if you're listening to this and you missed the Guinness World Record for most people grape stomping, you can come back, sample the wines anytime, and grape stomp with us first weekend in August at the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival.
Okay, I say we broadcast from there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Maybe we'll have a contest with our listeners and fly in some listeners and let them take part in it as well.
That would be perfect. I can't think of a better way to spend a weekend than taking in a bunch of live comedy shows and touring the wineries of Chautauqua County.
I can't either. Now, let's talk about the Spanish for a second, because they held the record. And before I got you on the line, I tried to find any evidence of any riots in Spain over this. But I guess the Spanish took it pretty well. Or have you gotten any hate mail from Spain?
Not yet. And I have to admit, I'm really smiling as you say that, because in the weeks leading up, I kind of thought, hey, maybe we should start some friendly overseas trash talk over this thing and let them know what we're doing and that we intend to break their record. But then wisely, I thought, well, that could go really badly if we have a cold day and a bunch of people decide not to show up and for some reason the record doesn't get broken. I mean, it went so smoothly and people had such a fun time. But behind the scenes, in the planning of it, there were a lot of things we were concerned with and just wanted to make sure it went well. So I thought better of starting kind of an online trash talk session with Spain until I knew that we were going to break the record. So,
Journey,
Spain, if you're listening, we congratulate you on having set it in 2012. Unfortunately, now Jamestown holds the title.
All right, I'm going to give you the opportunity now, Journey, to say, nah, 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 nah.
I don't know how that translates into Spanish.
It's universal. Go for it.
Is there an Enyay over the N? It would be na 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 na.
There you go. All right. You know what I think is going to happen, though? I just have some sort of premonition that the folks in California who produce 90% of the wine that's consumed in America, maybe even 95%, are not going to take this well. And me reporting this on a lot of stations in California could trigger some serious transcontinental rivalry.
You might be right. Just be warned, anyone thinking of taking on this task, it took us 60 tons of grapes. So if you think you're going to get more than 1,232 people, you're going to have to get a lot of grapes together to beat a record like this. And just having managed it for the weekend and still catching my breath, the thought of trying to do something like this again right now is daunting. So I'm hoping we can hold on to the record for a few more years. And if you want to come and trash talk to us in person about the record, I encourage you to visit Jamestown and visit the museum now, the Comedy Festival in August, or the National Comedy Center once it's built and open in 2016.
Oh, awesome. Well, listen, you know, if they were to try to set the record on the West Coast, the problem is that I think you actually hold a number of records because you certainly hold the record for stomping the most Concord grapes. We don't have any of those out here, so we can't beat that record, right?
That's right. And funny you should mention that. We set another Guinness World Record in 2011 for most people dressed as Lucy Ricardo. So I think for now we've got that one held as well. And, you know, we're a place for laughter. So the craft of comedy and its contributors will always be honored here in Jamestown. And you can do so with a glass of wonderful Concord grape wine in your hand.
Okay, so what we're going to do is you've got some footage that you've sent to us. We're going to post that on our website, grapeencounters.com. We don't normally post video there, but we'll do it this time because we want you to get a look at that. And we'll also post links to it on our Facebook group page, which you should all join if you haven't already. The Facebook group page is called Grape Encounters Radio, so just search for that. And last question, Journey, you were in the vat, weren't you?
I was in the vat, but I was not in the vat during the moment we set the world record. I was in the vat before and after for planning reasons, trying to get the thing all together and all the grapes spread. But I was on the mic actually counting down from 10 seconds till the moment we all had to stomp for 3 minutes. So I was sort of trying to corral the crowd of 1,232 from a little stage.
Oh, Journey, we're ending on a sour note here. My gosh. Why didn't you take the mic into the vat?
We wanted to end on an even number. We wanted to set it with an even number. How about that?
Okay, all right. 1,232. I don't know what that means, but okay, fantastic. Well, again, check it out at grapeencounters.com. Again, I wish I could have been there, but I'm glad you guys did it. We'll continue with Grape Encounters in just a moment, including a discussion about the wine business in New York. You definitely want to hear that story coming up on Grape Encounters Radio.
Grape Encounters continues. Visit our website at grapeencounters.com.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood. But I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
All right, back with Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here. What a kick to talk about the grape stomping that went on in New York last week. Now, let's talk more generally about New York wines, because we don't often get a chance to do that. And it's a real privilege today to have on the owners of the oldest farm winery, I guess we can call that a state winery, in the state of New York, the very oldest one. And joining me today is Jennifer and Fred Johnson. They're the owners of Johnson Estate Winery in the Lake Erie wine country. And hey, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Good to be with you.
It's good to be with you, too. Oldest winery. Now, there were wineries before your winery came into existence, right? But they weren't estate wineries.
That is correct. And I believe one of the oldest, if not the oldest winery in the country is called Brotherhood Winery, and that's a New York State winery.
Yeah, well, I think wines definitely started in New York, although I think on the other side of the continent, they were making wine too. It's great that every state in the union now is making wine. New York's coming on really strong right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. When Father started this winery back in 1961, I think there were 5 wineries in New York, and we're coming up over 400 now.
Now, let's talk about the regions in general. You are the Lake Erie region, so I think your northernmost point is just below Buffalo, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, it is, right on the south shore of Lake Erie.
And then it just runs along the state, and it runs into the state of Pennsylvania, does it not?
Yes, it does. There are about 30,000 acres of vineyards between the two states right here along the Lake Erie.
And then as you move from west to east, you have the Finger Lakes region, which is not quite in the middle of the state, and then the Hudson River region, which is right above New York City, borders Massachusetts and Connecticut, right?
Yes, it does. It borders Connecticut. And then, of course, we have out on Long Island some very good up-and-coming wineries.
Now, those are all the AVAs, but then you have other places in the state that are also growing wine grapes as well, right?
That is correct. The Niagara Escarpment, and then even up on the North Country at the east end of Lake Ontario.
First of all, I guess I wanted to ask you, did you get a chance to go out to the grape stomp?
No, sir, we did not. We were watching our Lucy machine stomp our grapes for us about that time.
Lucy machine. So where are you in terms of harvest? I know out on the West Coast, they're still pulling in grapes, but we're getting near the end here. Same story there?
Same story here. We just did our Riesling harvest on Monday, and we will be done by the middle of next week, except, of course, for those acres that we net for ice wine.
Okay, and then the ice wine would be harvested when?
As soon as we get a couple of days where the temperature does not go above 15 or 16.
I hope you're talking Celsius.
No, sir.
Oh, man. That's cool.
You're invited to help come pick.
That, you know what? I might just do that. What do you got to wear?
Layers.
Lots of layers. And then someone brings along some little heated warmers for your hands and your feet if you need that. And maybe the sun will come out, and then you can shed a layer or two.
And
as long as the wind's not blowing, you're all right.
Is there somebody that's bringing hot cocoa out there? Or
yes, maybe, sir, that would be me.
Or maybe a little warmed cognac, perhaps. Something like
well,
that.
The cocoa's been known to be spiked.
And up there near Niagara, the ice wine is just the best in the, maybe the best in the world.
Well, we certainly have a large production of ice wine in Canada, partly because the Canadian government encouraged them to concentrate and focus their efforts on several products like ice wine.
We're heard all over the country, but have a lot of affiliates in California. One of the things that I find very disappointing is that when you go even into the larger wine stores, you don't see as much New York wine as I think should be fair, because New York is producing more than a fair amount of wine. So why is it so hard for that wine to reach the western shores?
First of all, our history of producing sweet Labrusca wines, which I have nothing against. They're a lot of fun. We sell a lot of them. But they're very, very different than the traditional vinifera wines. And then, of course, New York's got a pretty big population, so the wine gets consumed here in New York or Pennsylvania or Ohio, at least in our case.
So if I
and when you say, Fred, that many of our New York wineries, startup wineries, are on the smaller side, so to the extent that they're selling out of their retail rooms, they don't need to look to distributors to distribute on a national basis, and they may be too small to do that anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's much more profitable for the wineries, isn't it?
And it's a good place to get started.
If I owned my own winery, I think I'd try to sell everything from my tasting room if I could. And to local restaurants, because once you get into the distribution system, you get into a pretty significant chunk of change being carved out of your profits.
I mean, people probably know this, but if you see a bottle of wine on the shelf of a wine shop, a winery is probably getting half that, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, but half that amount. The rest goes into the distribution channel.
So how much visitation do you get now in New York from other parts of the country? Are people starting to discover it from further away? And are you seeing a lot of visitors from quite a distance out of state?
Yes, we do. I mean, we happen to be right on the border with Pennsylvania, not at all far from Ohio. So well more than 50% of our customers come from Pennsylvania and Ohio and other places.
And we should probably also add, David, that other draw for Western New York, Chautauqua County, particularly for people in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, who are an easy drive away, is Chautauqua Institution, which is just 12 miles from here, and is one of the, you know, three must-sees in Chautauqua County, New York.
let's go back to your winery for a second. And we are talking to Jennifer and Fred Johnson. They're the owners of the Johnson Estate Winery, the oldest farm winery in New York State, established back in 1961. Your dad started that, right, Fred?
Yes, he did. He made it all official, though my granddad was making wine down in the basement through Prohibition, but I guess that doesn't count.
You can still be prosecuted for that. You shouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to dig him up.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the wines that you make there at Johnson Estate Winery. 13 different varietals are a number of the wines that you make blends?
A number of them are. We have, I think, out of those 13 varieties, we make some 30 different wines.
That's a bunch.
Yes, it is. Father was an experimenter and an innovator and was always trying something new, and kind of each thing that survived has a loyal following.
So how many of the vines that your dad planted are still producing on the property today?
Approximately 115 acres of vines. 80 of them were planted by father.
And they're still going strong.
Certainly are.
So what are people drinking, and what's the most popular thing that you make?
Well, the most popular thing that we sell here at the winery are the Rieslings. Then the next one right after that is Concord. So two very different tastes, very different profiles, both very popular.
They were stomping Concord grapes at the event last Saturday. Those grapes are a little cheaper, right, than some of the other things that you grow?
They are very bountiful in their yield, very big and juicy. Obviously, we're designed for and selected for making Welch's grape juice.
I think it's worth saying, when Fred says bountiful, he means somewhere between 12 and maybe even 16 tons to an acre, as compared to some vinifera grapes who might be as low as 2 to 6 tons to an acre.
Yeah, no kidding. That is bountiful. But the Concord wines are incredibly popular all the same. And if somebody has never tried them, if you're a wine snob, well, first of all, you shouldn't be listening to this show. But if you're a wine snob, try it sometime. It's fun. It's very fun wine. And it's one of the grapes that I think really, when you make a wine, tastes like the grape itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. People have sometimes said it's grape jam on steroids.
Okay. In the drier wines, and let's move from whites to reds, what are the reds that really do well in your area? For instance, Bordeaux varietals. What do you grow, and what's really hot right now?
Our best seller here at the winery is a Cabernet Sauvignon. But I will be the first to admit we don't grow the Cabernet Sauvignon here. We're too far north. We buy that from Long Island. We call it New York State end-to-end because we send Riesling down to Long Island. They send us up Cabernet. And we've done very well with it. We have several other what we call hybrid varieties, which are French-American crosses. Chamberson is one, which is makes an outstanding wine, just voted best of class for a French-American hybrid here in New York State's Governor's Cup.
And then any of the traditional Bordeaux or Rhone varietals growing there?
The only one that is appropriate for a red Bordeaux variety, and I don't even know if it's a Bordeaux variety, is Pinot Noir. The Germans call it Spätburgunder. Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, the rest of them we're too far north. Our winters are too cold and our summers are too short to do them justice.
So we are humble about it and admit that we buy those grapes from Long Island in our desire to make sure that we have the best quality wine.
Hey, it's okay. You know, I once visited a tasting room in Texas and I went through all their wines and I got to this Cabernet Sauvignon. I said, wow, this is really delicious. Sheepishly, they looked at me and they said, well, we actually truck these grapes in from California. That's okay.
The way to think of us is we're Germany, and California is France or Spain.
That's okay.
And Long Island is also about like France, right?
It's very much like Bordeaux, yes.
Well, I think, you know, the trick is to get the wine-drinking population step outside of their comfort zone, because I don't care whether it's, New York grapes or wines that are made in Missouri or Texas or any, you know, there's some great wines coming out of Idaho right now. And there are great wines being made all over the country. What I think winemakers and grape growers are learning is that, you know, don't try to imitate another wine region that is not a parallel to your region, because you can't grow those grapes. So there's a grape for every region of the world, really. You just got to figure out what grows there and make wines that are suitable to the region. And the rest of the world needs to go out and try them, and not expect it to taste like what you're used to drinking.
And that's what makes this this whole area, this whole business, a lot of fun, because there's many, many wonderful wines and new wines to try.
That's the secret of hometown buffet. You know, we have a buffet of wines now, and I'm not sure how many different varietals are grown in the States, but it's in the thousands, and it's terrific, and it's fun. And I'm glad to see also, and I'd love your opinion on this, but I'm glad to see the millennials, you know, the young people who do not have preconceptions and who are not stuck in a box, getting out and really trying some different things. And I think they're driving sort of a passion for exploration of different kinds of wines. Are you seeing that in the people that come into the tasting rooms there?
Yes, I think that is right. The younger people are not hung up on a name that they've heard before. They're happy to try, in fact, interested in trying things they haven't heard of.
Yeah, that's the way they work. Well, hey, listen, it's been great talking to you. The winery is the Johnson Estate Winery, the oldest farm winery in New York State, established in 1961. We've been talking to owners Jennifer and Fred Johnson. If somebody wants more information about the winery or wants information about coming and taking a tour in your region, best place to go?
Two places. One would be our website, and the second would be LakeErieWineCountry.org. And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't send them also to TourChautauqua.org, which has information about the whole county, including Chautauqua Institution and the beaches and the fishing and the skiing, etc.
And your website is just JohnsonWinery.com.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
That works out good. Great time to come there right now, isn't it? Leaves are changing.
Beautiful right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, you guys, thanks very much for talking to me.
Our pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And at some point, we're going to get out there with our microphones and do this in person. Sound good?
Sounds great. Bring your cross-country skis if you come in winter.
I'm going to be on a snowmobile.
There you go.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Very glad to talk to Jennifer and Fred Johnson. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters after this. We're going to pull it back into the studio now.
Unpretentious, unconventional, and uncorked. This is Grape Encounters Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Reiner, and you're listening to Grape Encounters. What the hell that means, but you're listening to it.
Yesterday's news just hit home today.
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine. Today's top news, trends, and stories. Here's what we've encountered. This is Grape Encounters News.
I'm very pleased to introduce a brand new segment this week and a brand new cast member. His name is Larry Gifford. He has covered stories all over the world. And Larry, your official title is now what?
I believe I'm the senior wine news correspondent.
You chose that title for yourself. You are the only wine news correspondent here.
Okay. I want to be higher in the pecking order.
Hey, I'm glad to have you here, by the way, because seriously, you have done straight news. Wait, that didn't come out right. You have done general news all over the world, really, and have been in this business since I think you were 14.
12.
You couldn't drink wine then, so
it didn't stop me, did it?
You had to mature enough to get this job, and it's nice that you've finally made it to the top. So what do you got for us today?
All right, our top story, the cost of September's Napa earthquake coming into focus for the wine industry. Silicon Valley Bank telling Wine Spectator it's estimating that businesses suffered $80 million in damage, but says that's a conservative estimate.
That sounds like a very conservative estimate. Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Does this include businesses? Does this include residences? Does this include overpasses, for Pete's sake?
The article says it's about the businesses. So it doesn't say if it's the wine industry exclusively. It could be all businesses in Napa County. It doesn't include Sonoma County. But it says 60%.
Why are they sliding Sonoma County?
Not sure that they're sliding. I think that the quote, the Silicon Valley Bank is only doing the investigation.
It's not all about Napa. I mean, Napa, Sonoma.
Sure.
You know, you say them in the same sentence, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
60% of Napa County's wineries had some level of damage.
You know, one overpass, that could be $20 million all by itself.
Sure. I don't know. I'm not an overpass expert, but it certainly would add to that total.
Okay, so we're going to get clarification on this. But nonetheless, a really big number. That's a whole lot of Cabernet.
That is a lot of Cabernet. Question for you, David.
Yes.
How is that going to impact consumers long term?
I've talked to a lot of people up there, including the Wine Institute, and they say it's not going to impact prices at all.
Well, good.
Don't even worry about it.
I won't.
A lot of people were spreading doom and gloom predictions, but most people say no.
All right. LA Times is now reporting that Michael and Charlotte Sager Wild, the owners of one of London's most lauded wine bars, Sager and Wild, opened a new Californian wine bar serving
They're hyphenated? Is that what it is?
They're hyphenated. Then the restaurant itself is with a plus sign.
Okay.
So they have a new Californian wine bar called Mission, showcasing California wines. In London.
I think that's fantastic. And when you think about the fact that the Judgment of Paris was actually an event that was put on by a Brit, mm-hmm. then it only makes sense. I mean,
yeah, what
after
took
all,
them so long?
It was the Brits that were responsible for taking American wine to the pinnacle. I think much to the distress of other Europeans.
And here's the other thing. It's called the Mission Californian Wine Bar and Kitchen. They've got the wine covered. The food, it's still kind of English fare.
Like
grouse.
I like your choice of words. English fare.
Well.
Is that F-A-I-R or F-A-R-E?
I believe it's F-A-R-E.
Or either way.
Yes. Okay. Liver toast and figs.
Liver toast and figs?
I like figs.
Does the liver toast have figs on it?
I would presume that's how it's. I've not had it yet. Well,
they just
the budget
want,
here hasn't sent me over to London to try it out
they,
yet. But
they don't
like
want
to
say
me.
Liverwurst, do they?
I don't think they want to say liverwurst.
Anything that has the word worst at the end, you know it's a problem. All right. The figs are okay, though.
Yeah. So right. I know you're a big Instagram guy. So I'm sure you've seen this picture of New York Knicks power forward Amari Stoudemire taking a bath in red wine.
That's disgusting.
It is making the rounds. Apparently, this is a thing. He captioned the picture, Recovery Day, Red Wine Bath.
Let me put it to you this way. If I wake up in a bathtub full of red wine, I'm far from recovered, okay? I've had a really, really, really big night, and I'm a long way from recovery.
Why do you suppose someone would bathe in red wine?
I think to show off.
Do you think it is? I mean, there are, you know, there's the, you know, the therapy studios in Atascadero. They were quoted in USA
Today.
Yeah,
not far from our studio, as a matter of fact.
They were talking about how it strengthens microcirculation, increases the resistance of the blood cells, helps with skin cancer and Alzheimer's and heart disease. Seems like a miracle drug, really.
Well, there are something like 50, at last count, health benefits to wine. And by the way, people as far back as Cleopatra, women would put wine on their skin to give them a better complexion.
Mm.
And they still do it today. There's a lot of actresses actually do that.
They're
and
just
celebrities.
Spilling the wine when they're drinking it.
They're spilling the wine? Okay. Well, dig that, girl. I don't know if you can get the same health benefits by absorbing wine. What is it called? Transdermally?
Is that what it's called?
You know, they put medication
sure.
patches on your arm. So if you get all these health benefits from the antioxidants and other things, the resveratrol in wine, then perhaps you could soak in it and get the benefits. But I think it's unfair that most of us will never be able to afford a bathtub full of wine. I just realized something.
Well, tell me.
We just did that story earlier in the show about the big grape stomp in New York, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, 60,000 tons of wine, and they just threw it away. And they should have, like, sucked up all that juice and given it to the poor to bathe in.
Or auction it off for people to bathe in.
Absolutely.
Give it to charity.
All right.
The folks behind the nifty app Vivino are out with an infographic online on how to pair wine with Halloween candy.
Get out.
And we're going to test your knowledge, David.
All right. What do you got?
Kit Kat bar. What would you pair that with?
You know, probably something like a late harvest Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot.
Okay. What they recommend is a sparkling.
That's exactly what I expected them to say.
Oh. What
right.
would you serve with a Snicker?
$2, Chuck.
They're saying a...
No, I mean, I misunderstood your question. When I serve $2, Chuck, I Snicker.
Oh. Well, you're not far off. They're saying a red table wine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, gosh. I don't even like those. I need something sweet to offset that sour. I'm going with a Moscato on that.
They said there is absolutely nothing that pairs with the Sour Patch Kids.
You tricked me.
I did. I did trick you.
What would you have paired with it?
I would have paired a nice peanut butter sandwich.
That's it. Thanks for making me look like a fool.
That's my job.
By the way, I want to go back to that soaking in wine thing for a second.
Yeah.
I just remembered we did a story a couple of years ago about a spa in Japan where they fill an entire pool full of wine.
Dave.
You know what? I would never get in that pool because the temptation to drink the water would be too great. And I'm going to tell you what, I just think that water is likely to be unusually acidic. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. My thanks to all of my guests, and especially the new kid on the block, Larry Gifford. Larry, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
We'll see you here next week. Don't you dare humiliate me, Larry.
Yesterday's news just hit home.